very thankful this morning that when we pray, that it said that heaven stands at attention, and that the Lord is still being moved on His throne when we pray. That gives me great comfort and hope for the things that I face today and the things that I know and don't know that I'll face tomorrow, is that the Lord is going to be there faithful to all of us. And there is still power in prayer. Desire and interest in your prayers today that heaven would stand at attention in this service, that the Holy Spirit would move among us as we open up our hearts to Him. On the board, we've written a title, Sanctified. I'd like to begin over in the 5th chapter of Daniel. Very familiar story of Belshazzar. Belshazzar the king of Babylon, the greatest empire that the world had ever known to date. He made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before the 1,000. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father or his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's grandfather, that he had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and wives and concubines, that they might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and the princes and his wives and concubines drank in them. They drank wine. Now, keep in mind that here Belshazzar's having a big party. It's an, obviously there, the wine was flowing. There was drunkenness at a lot of these parties. There was much adultery, fornication that took place. There was great feasting. And Belshazzar called for the gold and silver vessels that had been in the temple. He called for them to be brought in. And they filled those vessels with the wine, and they drank out of them. And it said they drank wine, and this is what they did. And keep in mind, these vessels had come from the temple of God, which was for a place of worship. And they took those vessels, and as they drank their wine, they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. They took something that had been sacred and dedicated and consecrated and holy exclusively for the service of the Lord. That's what it means to be sanctified. For the exclusive use of, holy, reserved. And here we have idolaters taking those sacred vessels, and as they drank of those vessels, they praised the gods of this world. I wonder what an affront that was to the God of Israel. It said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and he wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then we find the king's countenance changed, his knees smote together, and he was in fear and wanted to know what has been written on the wall. Understand that God came and placed a judgment against the king and his kingdom, and it was at the height of when he was desecrating what was supposed to have been sacred to the Lord God. Over in the book of Numbers, and we're going to return here to Daniel, but in the book of Numbers in the 7th chapter, we read of how Moses had built the tabernacle according to the plan that God had given. And I want us to remember that Moses and Aaron were not the architects of the tabernacle. God gave them the exclusive plans in the to the uttermost detail of how to build that tabernacle. They didn't say, well, God gave us, He told us how to frame it, in other words, but we get to choose the colors.
God told them the colors of the curtains are to be red and blue. And you're to have so many, were your curtains, your curtain rods, and your curtain rings. He told them how many curtain rings they were to have. He was very specific with how they were to build the tabernacle, and he was very specific with what they were to have inside of the tabernacle. So now we read in the 7th chapter of Numbers, in the 1st verse, it said, "It came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them." And then it goes on. But here it said that Moses, he dedicated the temple. What did he dedicate it to? It was dedicated to the use and worship of the Lord God. And he took the altar and all of the vessels, all of the cups, all of the candlesticks, everything in that temple, he anointed it with oil. He anointed it and he dedicated it, and it said he sanctified it and all the instruments thereof. That word sanctified means, again, to consecrate. It means to separate. It means to set apart for sacred use. So all of the vessels in the temple, you didn't say, come along and say, well, I'm thirsty, and walk in the temple and take a cup and get a drink. It was only to be used in sacred worship because it was holy. It was sanctified. It was set apart. The best way I know, I remember my mother, and I believe my wife similarly, they had a pair of scissors that were sanctified. Sanctified scissors were, they were Singer scissors, at least my mom's were. Didn't you have a pair as well? They're not sanctified anymore, if they ever were, okay. My mother had a pair of sanctified scissors. Ginger, there we go. They were set apart for the exclusive use of cutting cloth in sewing. If you needed to cut cardboard, if you needed to cut open a package that came in the mail, if you needed to cut paper, you don't use sanctified scissors. Sister Tammy, I don't know if you have some sanctified scissors or not. You do. But it means these are for the exclusive use of sewing. Because when you use them in common use, it dulls the scissors and it messes them up. So they're sanctified. They're set apart. You don't use them for anything else except for this purpose. That is what it means to be sanctified. It means it's not to be used for anything else except for the exclusive use of the intended purpose. And so Moses took the instruments and the vessels and he anointed them with oil. Oil was representative of God's approval on a life. Remember when they would anoint the kings of Israel? They took olive oil and they just poured it down over their head. They didn't just put a little dab on their forehead like we do today. They poured it over their head, and it was a symbol of the presence of God and that God has chosen you. You are no longer just a shepherd, or you are no longer just a farmer, but you have been called to be the king of Israel. And you've been anointed with oil, that you have been set apart from everybody else in your family. Everybody else in society, you have been set apart and sanctified for a specific use. So Moses sanctified the vessels. These were some of the same vessels probably. And this was later on out of Solomon's temple. But these vessels had been sanctified, and we read that Belshazzar took those vessels that were set apart for exclusive use in the worship of God, and he used those vessels in much sin. And while he did it, they praised the God of gold and silver and brass and wood. And God looked down and he saw that what had been sacred and what had been sanctified had been violated. It had been profaned. And God said, "It is enough." And the hand of God, the hand came out and began to write on the wall. and it pronounced a judgment against Belshazzar and his kingdom. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Thy kingdom shall be given to the Medes and the Persians. Said, this night shall be given. And judgment came upon them. It was because they had profaned those sacred vessels. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Leviticus. And I would that we get this a little picture of these sanctified vessels. It wasn't to be used for anything else. And how Belshazzar used those and he profaned them. He used them for the gods of this world. And so it was no longer sanctified and holy because it had been used and mingled with casual use. And what had one time been dedicated was no longer sanctified to the worship of God. Now in the book of Leviticus in the 8th chapter, it said, Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar, and he sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments, and he sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments. The things, the vessels of the temple had been, or the tabernacle had been sanctified. But now we read about how Moses called Aaron and his sons, who were priests. They were the ones that were to be serving in the temple in the worship of God. And do you know that when someone serves in the temple of God and worships God, they too are to be sanctified? And so Moses called them to him. And I was so moved when I looked at the types and the shadows that are contained within this passage. But it said Moses took the anointing oil. He took that oil. And it said, and he took the blood that was on the altar. That's where the sacrifices were made. And he took the blood of that altar. And he took the oil. And he sprinkled those on Aaron and on his sons and on his garments. And he said he sanctified them for the use. You know, the blood on the altar, it was the blood that came from the sacrifice. That still today, that there is a sanctifying process. There is a sanctifying, there is a work that takes place when the blood of Jesus has been applied to a life. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. In other words, you've been sanctified in that you've been separated from the sin of this world. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the blood of Jesus does. But and yet we find he also took of the oil, which in the Old Testament as well as the New, the oil is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. And Moses, it was a twofold thing that he anointed the priest with the blood and with the oil. That folks, we are sanctified still today. And please don't misunderstand the terminology that when we receive of the Holy Spirit, there we are sanctified, but we are also sanctified or made separate for God's use when the blood of Jesus has been applied. The scripture says that we are sanctified by the blood. It says that we are sanctified by truth. Jesus prayed, when he prayed, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, make them separate. Make them separate. Make them holy. Reserve them for dedicated use through the truth of God's word. We read about how Hebrews 10:10, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. There is sanctifying power in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. There's sanctifying power. And then the scripture teaches us also that we are through the sanctification of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2 and Romans 15:16. We are sanctified by the Spirit. And we see Moses anointed Aaron and the priests by the blood of the altar and also by the oil. The blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit, they both work a sanctification within our life that sets us apart to make us exclusively the Lord God's. Well, this word sanctification or sanctified, It goes on over in Exodus in the 19th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus 19 verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. In other words, the message that Moses gave the people in this passage was, sanctify the people because the Lord wants to come down and visit with them. The Lord does not want to come down and visit and intermingle with unclean people. But He wants to come in and take up His abode, and He wants to minister to those that have taken upon themselves responsibility. That I want to prepare myself for the presence of God. And the message was, sanctify yourself. And what that meant for the Jews was, go take a bath and change your clothes. In other words, go get cleaned up. We don't want to stand in the presence of God without our Sunday best on. In other words, we don't want our old clothes on. We don't want to be smelling. We've been out working. We've been traveling. And when you've been traveling and working hard, you're just dirty because of life. And so when He said, sanctify the people, go tell them to get cleaned up. Get all the dirt off of them and change their clothes that they would be acceptable to stand in the presence of God. And we also find, moving on this term sanctified, you will find in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, Solomon had built the temple of God. He had built the temple of God. And the Lord said, now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Now remember, sanctified, I've set it apart. It's not to be used for any other purpose, but I've set it apart. I've made it holy for the sacred use of worship of the Lord. And He said, I've sanctified this house that My name may be there forever, and Mine eyes and My heart shall be there perpetually. Folks, the Lord had ceremoniously and morally appointed or consecrated and dedicated and purified that temple that the presence of God could come down and fill that place, that people would know this is where we meet God. This is where the presence of God was. Do you know this is why the Jesus, we look at Belshazzar and the judgments of God came in when they took a sanctified vessel and used it casually? And this is the reason Jesus was so incense in His spirit when He walked into the temple and He looked and He said, this was My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. And He said, you've made it a house of merchandise. They were buying and selling. They were making money. There was much corruption going on in the temple. And Jesus turned over the money changers' tables and He took a whip and He drove out the ox and let the birds escape. Do you realize this morning the reason Jesus was so moved in His spirit was because this was to be sanctified. This was to be dedicated. This was to be the Lord's. Do you recognize the value of something being sanctified this morning? When we look in the Old Testament, these are not common temples. These are not common vessels. But do you know there are vessels out in the world that you can drink of when you get thirsty? But don't take the consecrated vessel. That's for the exclusive use of service to God. Well, it means something this morning to be sanctified. If you will turn with me to 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. He said in the 23rd verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you. How does He sanctify us? He said, and the Lord, very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. In entirety. In fullness. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it means something to be sanctified this morning. It means something, and His prayer was that the very God of peace would sanctify you. Folks, the Spirit of God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. We no longer have certain drinking cups in vessels that we have anointed and dedicated. We no longer have priests of the Levites that we place blood on and sprinkle oil on and say they're consecrated and they're set apart. The priests weren't to go out and farm the land. That's why they had offerings. The priests were to exclusively work for God. This morning now we read over here where he said, may the God of peace sanctify you. Holy. Your whole spirit and your soul and your body, holding nothing back, nothing being incomplete. This morning, do you know the Lord wants us to be sanctified vessels? Sanctified vessels. You young people, the Lord wants to sanctify you. He wants you to be sanctified in your body. And in your spirit, in your mind. He wants all of us, not just the young people, the children and the older ones. He wants all of us to be sanctified vessels. That everything that we do is, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I've been set apart from the sin of this world. I've been set apart from the things that motivate people in the world to do what they do. Do you know when you have been sanctified, the Lord, you've been set apart, that Lord, I'm not going to be motivated by the gods of this world, but Lord, everything I do, I want to be motivated by what pleases you. I want to be motivated by what gives God glory. I want to be motivated. Folks, the anger and wrath of God is poured out on vessels that were to be dedicated and sanctified to use them casually. The Lord is looking for vessels this morning that He can sanctify and say, this is for the exclusive use. Because what happened in the Old Testament was many times they took something that was sacred and they polluted it. They polluted the temple. They polluted the drinking vessels. And God was not pleased with it. But to be sanctified by Jesus Christ means that we have been set apart from the world of sin by the blood of Jesus. And we have been empowered with His Spirit when we've been anointed with His Holy Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, Paul was writing to the congregation at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:2, he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And I would say to the church of God which is at Springfield, to the church of God, wherever you are listening, he said, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called to be saints, by definition, a saint is someone that is holy. And what is holy? The word sanctify and holy in the Greek is the same. So live a holy life, he's saying live a sanctified life. Live a life that is separate from the things of this world. We are in the world, but folks, we're not to be of it. To be sanctified, called to be saints, mean that we are sacred before the Lord. That we are physically and morally pure, that we're blameless. A holy person or a saint is someone that has been separated. Folks, our desire and our purpose should not be to be one with the world. I want the world to accept me. Folks, the world does not accept sanctified vessels. The world will try to pollute a sanctified vessel and take what is beautiful and precious in the eyes of God and use it for common use. But the Lord created us that as humans that we would be sanctified, consecrated vessels. Called to be saints. Over in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, he said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. You know, I take note of a parallel here. And this is a difficult scripture really to understand. It wasn't real clear the way it was written. But when I think about Belshazzar praising the gods of gold and of silver and earth and of brass, and we read here that in a great house, you have all different kinds of cups. In your cupboard, some of you probably have cups that you put hot drinks in. You have different cups that you put cold drinks in. You've got your teacups, and you've got your mugs, and you've got your glass cups, and you've got your plastic cups, and you have all different kinds of vessels. In a great house, he said, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, what you might say, these are valuable, but there's those of wood and of earth. He said, some to honor and some to dishonor. But this was the exhortation. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what is he supposed to purge himself from? Folks, we're supposed to purge ourselves from the elements of this world. We're supposed to purge ourselves from all the things that are unlike Christ. And he said, if you purge yourself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And then he went on to say, flee also youthful lust and follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace. This morning, I exhort us in the love and the fear of God. We need to be sanctified vessels. Let's be sanctified vessels. We're going to be separate from the world. We're not going to look like the world in the way we dress. We're not going to act like the world. We're not going to have the same attitudes of the world. But we're motivated by a higher calling to love our enemies, to do good to those that don't treat us right, to be able to humble our heart in a world that is so prideful and exalted. He said, all be sanctified. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. That is what brings true honor. To be part and one with the world is a natural filling of the flesh. But the Lord is calling us this morning in a greater way as a body of people that we would be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. But folks, it takes effort on our part. There is something we have to do with it. And I would ask us this morning, are we sanctified in every area of our life? Someone gave my wife a silver-plated teapot. It's a beautiful teapot. It's silver-plated, but do you know to make that thing look good, you've got to continuously polish it. And sometimes, folks, we've been anointed by the blood from the altar. The Lord's forgiven us of our sins. And when Jesus said, go and sin no more, that is a sanctification. Understand. You've been chosen out from sin to live a holy life. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit. That also is a sanctification. You're reading your Bible and the Word of God comes along and says, you're not measured up here. And you say, Lord, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me to move up. I've been challenged. Sanctify me by Your truth. But folks, sometimes that silver-plated teapot, it needs to be polished. And sometimes as people of God, we've been anointed by the blood of Jesus. We've been set apart by the blood. And the Holy Spirit has filled us with His Spirit. And so people say, I'm saved and sanctified. But the word sanctify means more than having the Holy Spirit. I want us to understand scripturally, the word means more than that. It means that there are going to be times in our life that we need to do some re-examining. There are some times that maybe I've been a little guilty, Lord, of using what is sanctified, and I've been using it commonly. I've been drawing too much, maybe, to the things of this world. Lord, get me back oriented. Lord, I need to get out that polish and clean it up so it looks good, because I want people to be able to look on and see Jesus in my life. We need to be sanctified. And if people can't look on and observe our life, if they can't see purity and godliness and holiness, it means there are some things that we need to rededicate to the Lord and re-sanctify. Say, Lord, it's been too common. Maybe I've been too casual in my decisions. Maybe in the music I've been listening to, is it sanctified? Is it holy? Is it pure? Lord, I rededicate it to You. The places I've been going, I've been getting a little bit lax in my spiritual life. I haven't been as careful as I should have been. Lord, I still love You. I want You to come and polish me and give me a fresh anointing of Your Holy Spirit. This is why He told them in the Old Testament, Moses told the people, he said, sanctify yourselves. And we say, no, that's God's job. Folks, God has a job to sanctify, and we do too. He said, sanctify yourself. In other words, take a bath and put on clean garments. There are things in our walk with God, folks, that we're going to have to lay aside some things sometimes. Lord, I've gotten too cumbered down. I've allowed some things. It's not that I intended to do wrong, but I haven't been as close to you as I should have. What does hinder you this morning? What is it in your life that's keeping you from being that vessel? The Lord can say, this is a sanctified vessel. It's exclusively for my use. Folks, the Lord is looking in young people and children. The Lord is looking for some young people to be sanctified vessels that God can use, that He can use in the kingdom. He needs some sanctified mothers. He needs some sanctified grandparents. He needs some sanctified ministers. He needs some sanctified children that God, without shame, can say, these are my people. Because they've sanctified themselves. They've been set apart for the exclusive honor and glory of the Lord God. And folks, when we start seeing a little bit of self rise up, and we will. Did you get that? You can be saved and have the Holy Spirit, and all that does not remove you from the flesh. And when you start seeing that maybe you haven't been motivated, maybe as exclusively for the Lord as you should have in the decisions you've been making, don't be discouraged by it. It doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It doesn't even necessarily mean you've lost the Holy Spirit. But it means the truth of God's Word this morning wants to sanctify you. That, Lord, you showed me I've got some blemishes, or maybe if I keep going this way, I'm going to lose that sacredness. So, Lord, I come, and as He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord is not calling for something unreasonable this morning, but if we will come and dedicate our life and sacrifice and say, Lord, I sanctify myself, I give myself to you. I don't want to let the world be pulling the strings. But Lord, I want to be an exclusive vessel for your use. Folks, the Lord God will come in and He will make you beautiful. He will use you. God has a plan for all of us. But He went on to say, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, because that's casual use. You're using those ginger scissors for cutting cardboard. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. This morning, I don't have power to do anything for anybody else, but I can say, Lord, I want you to purge me. I want you to come in and I want you to show me areas of my life. And folks, more often than not, when there are things that need to be purged, we already know it. It's not a big mystery. I'm speaking personally now. It's not a mystery. It's, Lord, I know you want to purge me in this. I've got a little attitude that I couldn't just say, yes, that's been sanctified. That's for the exclusive use. No, a little bit too much flesh there. So, Lord, would you give me grace? Would you help me to humble a little more? Would you give me a little more of the, help me to yield more to the power of your Spirit? Folks, in everything we do, your buying, your mind, your body, and your spirit, the Lord wants us to be sanctified vessels. So all I can do this morning is lift my hand and open my heart and say, Lord, I want you. I want to be a sanctified vessel. I don't want to get to the place where I've allowed casual use of my life. But I want to keep it pure and I want to keep it clean, that the world might look on as well and say, these people are different. You know, it means something to be sanctified. It means we're different. So as we stand and sing a song this morning, I just want to encourage us, if the Lord's talked to your heart, the Lord is calling for all of us to be sanctified vessels for the exclusive use. But if there's anything this morning that the Lord has put His finger on to come and give to the Lord, it does not rob, and young people, get hold of this, it does not mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit, but there is a purifying process, perfecting holiness, perfecting sanctification in the fear of God, that if we want to continue to be sacred for the Lord, it means all through our life we're going to keep coming back to these places that we say, Lord, I need you to polish me up. I need to readjust some things because I want to be a sacred vessel. Lord, bless you all this morning. Words are inadequate. But young people, there is a need for sanctified young people. That's more than just going down to the altar saying, I need the Holy Spirit. It's young people that will continually say, Lord, I want to be a sanctified vessel, set apart for you exclusively in my life. And that does not mean that you don't have life to live, but it means as you live life, that it is for the purpose exclusively for the Lord God.